Go ahead.
Okay. It's Wednesday, July 1st, approximately 4:32. I'd like to call the subcommittee of the Board of Aldermen, the Operations and Procedures Subcommittee meeting to order. And can we stand for the pledge of allegiance? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands,
one nation,
under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, Madam Secretary, number three, roll call.
Yes, Ms. DeGennaro?
Here.
Mr. Sampson?
Present.
Ms. Wadomski?
Here.
Okay, you have a quorum.
Okay, item number four is additions, deletions, corrections, and adoption of the agenda. It's a special meeting. We cannot add any item, but I do want to put on the record that item number eight will not be discussed. I'm not sure that we can delete it, but we won't. Vin, can we delete item number eight?
Item number eight. I'm sorry, I'm having trouble with my speaker. So item number eight on the minutes.
It's a special meeting. I added on. Oh,
it's a special meeting. You can delete, but you can't add.
But I cannot add. Right. Okay. So I'm going to make a motion to delete item number eight. Is there a second?
Second, Charlie.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. To delete. Okay. I was pretty sure we could delete. Okay. Item number six is the approval of the minutes of the May 28, 2020 meeting. Do I have a motion? It was a special meeting. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes? Okay, I'll second.
Do you have to ask for the public portion?
Oh, did I pick?
Yeah,
oh, I missed
over
it. Oh my God, I skipped it. Sorry.
Oh boy.
I'm sorry. Okay. So let's strike the motions that were just made. Okay, item number five, public portion. Does anyone from the public wish to speak? Second time, anyone from the public wish to speak? And item for a third time regarding the public portion, anyone wish to speak? Okay, I'll make a motion that we close the public portion.
Second, Sarah.
Is there a second? Second, Sarah. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Item number six. Again, approval of the minutes of the May 28th, 2020 special meeting. I'll make a motion to approve the minutes. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Item number seven. What is going on my computer? Hang on. I'm getting something in there. Okay. Item number seven, discussion and review of the policies and procedures for the maintenance and use of the J.R. Payden Fieldhouse, Payden Park Baseball Field, and DeLippo Field / Ryan Athletic Complex. Discussion, possible action, and recommendation to the full Board of Aldermen, Alderwomen. Okay. We have, again, our draft of some policies regarding the use of fee schedule, definition of groups, so we're going to use it. Charlie had, redrafted some of the items with some input from Dr. Conway, and Charlie can probably add in, and I believe the principal of the high school. Charlie, you want to add what you did and then I had a couple questions that I actually think wanted to run by Vin and the committee.
Yes, so I did receive some information from Dr. Conway. Thank you, sir. He and Mark Izzo went over this draft. Besides my spelling errors, there were just a few small items in there where it actually brought up the school, which they didn't feel that the school needed to be noticed of the use of the facility by like Derby Little League or something. That's that, you know, it's not a school purview. So I did just take out the word school in a couple of small areas. Other than that, there weren't any other major changes. I will also say thank you, Dr. Conway, for getting me the information from Oxford. Oxford has several fields that they rent out, and I utilize that in the pricing. The one field, their turf field, which actually doesn't have as nice a facility attached to it in a field house as what we had, they do rent their turf field out for $1,500. I think that kind of went along with what we were looking at, or, you know, I put together from the information gleaned from what you had sent me, Barb, and the information I gathered as far as the pricing goes, which if you look at the long draft is down in the schedule for rental fees near the bottom. Though, I mean, the big changes, the big things we need to look at is, you know, where we want to price things. But those were the minor changes that the school sent over and the pricing that was sent over by the school. So once again, thank you, doctor. And there were no major changes to these policies.
Dr. Conway, I want to thank you too. I know one of the things we talked about last month was possibly seeing what Shelton had charged, but I think Dennis O'Connell was going to try to get that, and I don't think that was received, but I didn't know, you know, what their numbers were for the field use. So I want to go back to a couple things after rereading this today, and Charlie, I know I originally drafted this, and I go back and I look at some of the stuff, and now I'm thinking it's got to be clarified in some areas. But when we look at the user groups, and we get to group number three, which is the non-profit community organizations, such as that have a charitable use purposes. We talk about the Boy Scouts and the Girl Scouts. Are we thinking to just still limit this group to Derby groups? Do we have any intent to let another city come in and use this facility? And I'm not sure that is our intent. So I want to be clear that if we're going to just use the, you know, group number three, it's only going to be Derby organizations, or Derby church organizations, Derby service clubs. I want to make sure that is specific. And then I don't know that group four, when we talk about another nonprofit organization, are we bringing in, is that allowing, you know, anybody that fits that category from another town? And I don't know what the committee's thoughts are on that, or anybody else that wants to chime in.
So, Barb, it's Charlie. To be honest with you, I think that we need to leave this open, because if you think about groups coming in, so if the CIAC wants to hold a tournament, technically, the CIAC is not a Derby group, although we have a team that associates with it, or, you know, whatever, Little League wants to hold their Connecticut World Series here. I think we need to offer it to those type of groups. I think that, you know, number of tournaments are held throughout the year with different sports, and that by just saying it has to be a Derby organization, that we would completely limit ourselves on what type of, you know, organization that we would have in. It's hard because one of your comments at the beginning of this was that we needed we needed to look at what type of events we would be hosting here, what type of for us to make a large list, because I'm sure there would be a large list, would be impossible to put together. I just think that, you know, Dennis and whoever else is involved with this needs to use some common sense. And, you know, obviously we're not going to have a truck pull in the middle of the football field, and, you know, it could make us millions, but then we have to replace the football field. So
I understand what you're saying, and I follow what you're saying. My only concern becomes, so group number three, if it's a not, because group number three as a nonprofit isn't going to pay the fig, the fees are going to be waived. So that's, except for the custodial part of it. So that's where my only, you know, what my concern on that end is, you know, I mean, we can leave it the way it is. I know we have language where, you know, maybe that, like the CIAC probably falls under group number four, because the CIAC isn't a nonprofit. So what I was trying to, you know, get at, and I know we talk about certain circumstances that we're going to get, but just like we had the request to use the field for the playoffs this year. So I just, you know, the way it we really goes to the fee basis as well. So that's where I was trying to get a little clarity.
So for group three, I mean, we could narrow down where it says recognized local youth groups. I mean, that's kind of the only part that's an opener for anybody to utilize it. We could say this group of users includes recognized Derby youth groups instead of local youth groups, if we want to limit.
Yeah, we have Derby in there. Yeah, I mean, we have Derby in there. So I just was trying to say, is that what we're going to do on that end for number three? Are we going to keep it right now, you know, Derby, you know, based? I mean, we could always change it. I mean, we can see how it goes. I mean, you know, and if somebody wants to use it, then I think we have a circumstance later on in this, in the policy, in that if somebody wants to use it, that it's a special circumstance that they'd have to ask Dennis, and they'd have to come to the board. So that's how I would see it.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead. No, go ahead, Sarah. Please.
Keep group three Derby-based organizations. Do we, you know, think about moving out of town nonprofits to group four?
Yeah, we could
you know,
do that.
Adjust the language, you know, in group four to include out of town nonprofits.
Yeah, I think I would be okay with that.
I'm good with that. Excellent.
It maybe moves their priority down too. So if, you know, somebody wanted to use it in a Derby for the same day, then, you know, again, Derby got to take priority. Mm-hmm. So, all right. All right, Vin, are you there? Because here's another question. I have a question for you, Vin. Are you there, Vin? It's muted. It looks like
he's
muted.
I think he's muted.
He's not answering.
I think Drew's on the hotline with him. Get him going, Drew.
And I'm sorry, can I just ask, just to be clear, is the CIA...
I'm here.
Oh, you're there. Okay.
I'll sit and wait until that statement's done.
The CIAC is in the group four as well. Was I understanding that correctly?
Yeah, I believe.
I would think that, yeah.
Yeah,
go ahead, Charlie.
Yeah, I believe that, you know, any organization that comes in that wants to host some sort of tournament is going to fall under the group four, you know, unless it's a tournament sponsored by this, you know, like the girls softball team does a cancer tournament every year. That would fall under a school organization function, but the CIAC would be an external.
Okay. Hi, Vince. All right, so you're there, Vince?
I am.
All right. We talk about insurance a couple different places in here, like what the minimum is for a user. And is there a minimum requirement that we want to set all the time? Because one area, and it might have been what I put in, we had a $1 million personal injury and a $50,000 property damage, but then later on we just talk about $1 million, you know, blanket policy. You know, what language should we use so that it's uniform through this whole thing?
Yeah, let me pull something up. Just this morning, I dealt with an insurance company for the town of North Brantford, and they gave me what they felt were the appropriate limits for a municipality. So let me just pull it up for a sec. Let's see. All right, so they recommended the following limits of $1 million for each occurrence and yeah. $2 million in the aggregate.
Okay.
And it's a general liability insurance against claims for bodily injury, death, or property damage.
Death, property, and bodily injury. Okay. All right. So that got to be put in here in the where it's got to go.
Barbara, what I'll do is I'm going to copy the section on insurance out of this contract that I did, and I'll email it to you.
Okay.
This way you can pick what language you want.
Yep. Okay. All right. That's good. All right. And then one of the other things, and this is kind of for the committee again. You know, we talked about putting a deposit down for the event, whatever they're doing. And then we had that the balance had to be paid within 48 hours. But then we have some language in here too that talks about they'll be invoiced and pay within 14 days after, or 10 days, I think, I can't remember what, 14 days after being invoiced. And I just want to be clear in all these documents. I assume, you know, just probably from experience being an attorney, that we probably could say they could be invoiced later on for something that's additional that we don't know about after they hold the event, but we shouldn't be chasing people for money. So I think we have to have an understanding of what we want to do here. We want the deposit to hold the date and whatever they're going to do, and then get payment in full for their event. So that we're not chasing people, you know, we're not chasing for money. And I don't know what your fee, I'm trying to, you know, seeing, reading this and trying to pull it together. And that's one of the things I did see. So
I agree, Barb and Sarah. I think it was item 11 under the conditions of use. And I had the same question and agree completely that the fee should be paid in full before the event. And again, as you said, any additional monies that need to be collected after, in addition to or beyond the initial fee, they can get the invoice for that within that 10 business days or whatnot.
And Charlie, I know we, you know, we saw it as on the application. They're going to pay the city of Derby, but the check's going to be, however, it's good. The check's going to be made payable to the city of Derby. But it, is it our intention that it goes to the Parks and Rec director?
Yes, he will be collecting all the checks from the people and bringing them forward to the finance department.
Okay.
And actually, I added that in because that was one of your concerns earlier. That has
before,
been added
I know.
In.
Yeah.
And that's actually on that deposit sheet that.
Right. Yeah, it's on the deposit slip sheet, but then on the fee schedule, we have the extra payment going to the city. Attention of facility, a different account. And I mean, reading it today, just trying to pull it together with uniformity and the form name and all that's just something else that out there. All right, let me see.
Are you saying my form names are out there? Is that what you just said?
No. Yeah, well, I think they were my initial form names. So I'll take the blame.
I think Dr. Conway wants to throw a little input in here too.
Go ahead. Yep. He's muted.
So just a heads up. I did, as we were talking, you mentioned Dennis was going to reach out to Parks and Rec and Shelton. So not having received anything, I just reached out to Parks and Rec, sent them an email asking for their fee schedule for their field usage.
Oh. Thank you.
As soon as I get that, I'll share it.
All right. So either Barbara, Sarah, would you got that item 11 under the conditions? I was kind of trying to take notes, but can one of the two of you just look at that and clean it up and send it over to me? And
I'm going to be cleaning
everything
up more.
All right. Listen,
I'm just not putting it on the record.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what do we want to call? We call it a application for use on the actual application, but then we call it. I think it should be called request for use of facilities form. I think that's the more proper, because that's what they're trying to do.
I'm good with that.
Charlie, anything on the form about the amount of people, the fire marshal? I mean, we had talked before about depending on the table.
So it is. There is three things listed, and I did not get a chance today to confirm with Phil.
Okay.
I will do that. I have a large asterisk next to my note here to call Phil to make sure that those were the numbers that he provided. And we're going to go with, we'll basically just keep it, you know, three simple item. Yeah, keep it simple. So no furniture. Currently it's 423. Chairs only 220. Tables and chairs. And I'm not going to count whether they have six tables or eight. It's going to be 10 tables. So whatever the number of tables that we have there, that's the way it's going to be set up. And that's how we will be determined. If people are going to set up tables, whether they set up four or six, it's 130 people.
And are we charging per table? Do I read that right?
Yeah.
Is that what's proposed?
So, yeah, there's a fee schedule for equipment. So tables are in there. Yes. It's only like $5. $10 for a table, $5 for a chair. But that's only for group four and for group three after hours.
Right.
And I do... One of the other items that you had listed, Barbara, was the use of alcohol policy and insurance. And I think that section we should run past Corporation Counsel and get Vin's take on that. Maybe he's seen what some other towns have done, but that's a big one that I did not tackle. So,
no, I put it in there as a something to discuss. I know it's in here that there will be no, you know, alcoholic beverages. We have it prohibited. That's number 32
Yes, yeah, but,
so,
but
most towns prohibit alcohol on yeah. public property.
Okay. So we're going to leave in number 32.
I mean, if someone were to have alcohol, you're going to require a lot more insurance.
Right. I didn't know if, you know, if the school holds some sort of a parent teacher function or something like that, or, you know, some corporation wants to rent the building and hold a cheese and wine thing.
I suppose you can set it up where, an exception can be made with the approval of the Board of Aldermen and I would say the police chief.
And I would, in utilizing that thought, what I would probably do is under the groups, why don't we add a nondescript group that they categorize as anybody who doesn't fall under groups 1 through 4 or any special event, that, you know, is outside of the intent of this, can apply, but it will have to go through the Board of Aldermen for approval.
Yeah, and that probably makes sense because when I look at the overall use, the policy, that two-page document that's the last of this packet here, that it talks about in there about if there's a special, which I alluded to before, that said if there was a special circumstance that the and again it kind of gave some authority to the Parks and Rec director, and that in my mind isn't a function that somebody wants to come in and do a wine and cheese party. To me, it's like, you know, the CIAC has to use our field because somebody's field isn't available. To me, that's what that is. But, you know, I don't want to be too general where somebody could say, well, you allowed this, you know, you're allowing it. And we only have to, you know, fill out this form and Dennis could sign off on it type of thing. And I think we need to be specific, just like you said, Charlie, with a group. And then in the way Vin just worded it, that if there is somebody that wants to come in, and do something like that, or, you know, I know it's been discussed before and it might even have been Andrew when we first started doing this. And he's got to be a wise guy. He put up a picture of wine and cheese.
Well, I only said that because Andrew was the first one to ask me if he could hold a cheese party with his skinny jeans on.
Well, I know it was discussed before about, you know, possibly, you know, what if the class wanted to have their, you know, my class of 1980 wants to have their class reunion there.
Absolutely.
And, you know, so maybe we have to kind of, you know, give a circumstance and as that group, and then, you know, come for a special, you know, dispensation in front of the board.
Yes. Yes. And the fee schedule thing, the special conditions that you were talking about earlier, the only thing that, well, I'll clean that section C up, but it's more of the Parks and Rec director or the superintendent of schools in consultation with the Board of Aldermen can say, no, you could hold your car show, but you can't put any cars out on the field type of thing. It's not more of Dennis saying that, you know, you can do this. That's okay.
Yeah. I think there was a paragraph that I added in subject to the Board of Aldermen, but I'm trying to find it. I wrote on my paper here. Oh, it's in that generic policy thing at the end. So, I mean, I could send you what I wrote, Charlie, you know,
absolutely.
I mean, just, you know that. So,
yeah.
All right. I don't know if there's any other concerns, anybody else, Sarah?
Yeah, I have a question. You know, in general, for the general groups that don't have any, you know, special circumstances, you know, that were just being discussed, you know, if we set the criteria, Is every application really coming before the full board? Is there a reason that we can't, once the criteria is set, that the Parks and Rec director goes through, approves the applications, and gives us a, you know, a report, a monthly report with, you know, who's renting it, the type of event, the amount paid, that they're paid in full? Just a question. I know I came in on this late, so I'm not sure if that was discussed previously.
No, I don't think it was, and I don't think that, you know, our intent was that the applications are gonna come to the board every application for approval, but perhaps we can come up with a similar, you know, just a process, just like you said. You know, here's who made application, and who, here's the event that was held, and this is how much came in. I think it would be the application of the group that needs us to approve with special conditions that's going to come before. We have something. Where's the thing about the board?
I think
that's how I.
In the policies, the.
There was something.
Facilities policies page. I think that's where I read. But if approved by the department head, the application will be forwarded to the City of Derby, the Mayor's Office, and Board of Aldermen, Alderwomen for final approval.
Yeah, I think that was that's the last two pages, Sarah?
It's in
it was the last page. That was like the general use of what we were doing here. You know what that is? That was for the appeal if somebody gets denied an application. We had that in there. Somebody didn't get approved or something. That one?
No, let me see where.
What page?
Who's got?
Oh, I found it. It's on the first page.
The first page. Yeah, the first page.
Yeah.
One above the one that's on the screen.
Right, yeah. I mean, I think this was, again, this was like early on.
Sure.
But that almost seems to be the circumstance we have if somebody comes from the Y&Z party.
Well, so what we could do is, and I understand what Sarah's saying, there's no reason, if you fall in groups 1 through 4, which we've pretty much readily accepted at this point, that you know, between Dennis and the superintendent taking care of those, we will have the Parks and Rec director report monthly on groups 1 through 4. Anything that in the new group 5, let's say, or the all other category.
Yep.
You know, those specific applications will be accepted by the, or will be received by the Parks and Rec director, but will not be accepted until they are approved by the Board of Aldermen, Alderwomen.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah. I think, Sarah, that, you know, again, that last two pages was like an overall, you know, statement of what we were trying to do. And, or you know, so. I'm going to look at that because that needs to be cleaned up.
Yeah. I'm going to try it my best at it too. And Sarah, I apologize for sending this stuff out like at 8 o'clock the night before the meeting.
No, it's, you know,
there's a lot to digest.
It's taken a moment or a minute or two to digest.
Yeah.
And then the only other question I had is in that appeals committee, instead of, you know, putting together a whole new group, like, you know, would it be
community relations
to just to, you know, have this committee or the community relations committee, you know, take care of the appeals instead of putting a, you know, whole other committee together? Just a thought.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. But I guess, I don't know, maybe Vin could chime in. I mean, how many people would come forward and say, you know, we were denied, I mean, it could happen, but we were denied our, you know, application. you know, and appeal it being denied of use of what we want to try to do, you know, whatever they wanted to do. I mean, we should, I don't, maybe
you
we
put,
just
you
take it out
there,
or do we need to
I
have
doubt
something?
Many people are going to take advantage of it.
Yeah, right. So
they're just going to walk away.
Yeah, we can just make a.
And do you, you got a question? Do you want an appeal process?
Yeah. Maybe we don't even need it. I mean, that's why. Ah. But what, Charlie?
No, I'm good with that. Let's take out the appeal process.
let's take it out.
There's no obligation for it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ben, is that the Angels bowling over your head over there in Orange?
Yeah. Yeah, they're coming here too.
Yeah, they are. They're right over our heads.
All right. So does anybody have anything else they want to add? And, you know, I'm hoping that next month we say this is good.
Yeah.
You know, to
call the woman DeGenero.
Oh.
Call the woman DeGenero. Something off you. Can I ask a question?
You're past the public portion, but because you're on the Board of Aldermen, I'll allow it.
Thank you. I don't know if I missed it, but where's the money going to go after it's collected? And what line item is it going to go into?
So I'm not the tax board, but any funds received by the city would go into the unanticipated revenue. And then we would have to offset the cost of the Payton Fields expenses with that, like lighting, electricity.
Well, because my budget for that. When
they did a line item, Mark.
Yes.
Hang on, Tom.
Okay.
Set it up so they could specifically track it. Obviously, because we don't have a, you know, historical data. So they set up an expense line item, you know, for the electricity and all that stuff, and then for other expenses, and then they have an income line item too that they're going to track on the income side.
Yeah,
of the budget.
That would make sense. I mean, we could request that, because actually on the fee schedule we're calling it a facility use account, but it should go in there because we need to certainly. That would make sense.
Well, the only reason I brought that up is because when things start to break. Okay, and all that money that we're going to be collecting, and it goes into one of the city funds. Well, how are we going to pay for the things that break? Do we have a special account for that?
Well, as long as it's going, so it's the line item they created, and Mark, correct me if I'm wrong, but the line item they created is specific to the Payton Fieldhouse income line item. So it will show how much funding is in there. Any expenses from the Payton Field that we can offset with this money will be paid that way. So I would assume that, you know, just like electricity, when the electric bill comes in, if the bill's $1,000 and we have $1,200 in the account, that $1,000 goes and pays that electric bill. If a chair gets broken and they need to replace a chair, that line item would also cover the chair costs, as long as it's at the Payton Field.
Mark, did they still have, I didn't see it, but this past budget year, they had, you know, they called it Payton Park, I think. I forget how it was worded, where they had, did they still have that department?
Yes. In fact, this year they kind of detailed it out even more so for the year that started, obviously, today, this fiscal year.
All right. Well, I could get the exact wording, you know, of it, and we can add it into this, you know, where it would go, the way the tax board has it created. And that, I mean, that makes sense. So.
Well, that'll help that. And also keeping track of it, that'll help establish, you know, what is the operating cost? Like, you know.
Right.
The base operating costs. And then what are the, you know, kind of the variable costs based on the more user activities, say.
Tom, you got anything else, Tom?
No, I just wanted to make sure that they keep the money in the account every year so that it rolls over, so that, you know, if there's ever a problem, we have money in the account to pay to fix things, that the taxpayers don't got to pay for it.
Yeah.
I know they'd like to take the money and spread it around at the end of the budget season. Well, I think that money should stay in that line item every year and just keep on rolling over.
Yeah, and that's all. It is a
bit of fun.
Yeah.
Because you never know when something's going to break, and I just don't want to see the taxpayers have to foot the bill.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
Very good, Thomas. Andrew, you have anything to add?
No, I think you guys covered it all. I think the alcohol thing, if that ends up being to Alderman Sampson's point, a fifth category of a special exception use that has to get, you know, vetted by the board. And I think really the only possibility for those types of things is what you mentioned, your 50th, your 20th anniversary, whatever it may be, or a reunion, things like that are maybe Derby centric that we know maybe would be easy to manage. I don't know. It's a slippery slope with the alcohol. And then short of that, I think there may be, depending on how much interest we get in this thing and renting it out, there may be an opportunity here for, maybe it not just being a Parks and Recs function. Maybe this thing, if this thing can really be monetized and really picks up steam, maybe it's there's a separate entity here and somebody who comes in who really just handles marketing this thing and running it. But I mean, again, this is kind of step one, getting it off the ground. I think this is a pretty good setup, and you guys are way more detailed and specific than I think you even need to be, but it's a good start for sure.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, anybody else?
Madam Chair, if I may.
Yes. Yes.
I would just, based on past history in the city and even recent history with some of the experiences with some of our facilities of late, that the criteria be set to a fairly, that you set the criteria of what you want, because people not taking pride in public property is kind of something that we need to make sure that we have a beautiful facility that was basically donated, and, it should not, in some respects, we should, make sure that the costs are covered by the use of the facility. Because if you put the price too low, everybody's going to want to use that for a party or this and that. And if that's what you want, that's fine. But if it's not what you want, if it's meant to be something that's for, specific things that you decide, then I think you should set it tighter, and then you can let it out. You could loosen it up as you go forward, but we don't have a long history of people taking pride in these things, and that's, I think everybody understands that, but I think that we need to be good stewards of it. So, and I trust your judgment on all of these things going forward, but we need to make sure that we take care of it.
Thank you. Well taken. Anybody else? Okay, so Vin, if you can send me the insurance language, and then Charlie, we can work on it. Sarah, if you pick up anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would say that next month we'll have our next subcommittee. We should have pretty well in form to hopefully recommend for where are we at? I'm losing track already. July. So for our August, start. So okay. So we will not take any action, and we'll move this. We'll table number 7 for more discussion to next month's meeting. So I'm going to make the motion to table to next month. Bring back our changes. Is there a second?
Second, Sarah.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Okay, so then item number 9, it was adjournment. A motion to adjourn?
I'm just getting started. Why don't we hang out for a little while? Nobody else is in.
Are you kidding me? Do you want
to? I'll make a motion to adjourn, Madam Chairman.
Second.
Chairman, Chairwoman.
Chairwoman.
Okay, five. Okay. I'll second. 5:17. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Bye.